The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Feels good to be back. What's going on, everybody? Welcome on into First Take. I'm Charlie Arnold, joined by none other than Mr. Kendrick Perkins and Miss Monica McNutt. Dan Orlovsky and Damian Woody will be here as well with their takes on the latest Antonio Brown and Aaron Rodgers news. So we have a jam-packed show. But Perk, before we get to anything else, I've got a question for you. How'd you enjoy that 22-piece spicy wing dinner that Kyrie served up last night in his season debut?
I mean, Charlie, did you see it? And it was all, and it was three different flavors. You had the Cajun rub, the honey barbecue, and the lemon pepper.
Delicious. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into all of that yumminess right now, because Kyrie's return made the difference last night, helping the Nets defeat the Pacers 129-121. The guard posted 22 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, and 3 steals, and hitting several crucial baskets as Brooklyn clawed back from a 19-point deficit. His presence also helping his teammates do their thing, including KD, who finished with 39 points. So, Kyrie, tell us how that felt last night.
I've had a lot of debuts, but nothing comes close to this one. It meant a little bit more just because at this stage, you know, taking off 8 months or being out of the game for 8 months and coming back in, and you know, there's so much uncertainty, just how many minutes, you know, what's the flow of the game gonna be like, you know, how are my teammates gonna feel, and what's the game flow gonna be, you know, you just don't have any idea. So I went in with just an open mindset, just to ground myself, be present, and do whatever it takes to win.
Okay, you got to shake off those jitters. Now, Monica, I know where you've stood for the past week or so on this debate, but after seeing what he did last night, is part-time Kyrie good for the Nets?
Oh, Charlie, I mean, part-time Kyrie is not bad for the Nets. I mean, he's a terrific basketball player, and if I can just stick with Perk's chicken wing analogy, that was the most consistent chicken wing order that I would have expected. In fact, if I didn't know that the shop that makes the chicken wings had missed 35 opportunities to cook those chicken wings, I would have never known that he had missed any time at all. And so I think in many ways, last night's performance for me, and I mean this in a positive, was kind of unremarkable. It was standard Kyrie Irving. And if you don't know the context of the big picture, you would have never known. And in particular, I thought in the second half of the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, his leveling up defensively was something that stood out to me as a positive. I think his offensive ability, no questions asked, right? Like, his layup package is undefeated. His handles are elite. But when he turned it on defensively and helped the Nets finish that game on, I believe, a 31-16 run, that to me signifies that he has the pulse of this year's Nets squad and understands that defensively, they've been a team that's been formidable on that side of the ball. And so he had to pick up, or he had to continue in that vein.
Monica. You know, hey, the stage was set so perfect yesterday. Here's the thing. The stage, it was a perfect example of what I was trying to explain to you yesterday, ma'am, when I said, listen, on the road, you're getting ready for the long haul. On the road, you need your superstars to step up for you. Here it is, Kyrie Irving, first game back. They were down double figures. I believe at one point it might have been 18 points they were down. And all of a sudden, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving took over the game. Now, my biggest takeaway from this, the word trust. And from what I peeked is that Kevin Durant, along with the Brooklyn Nets, trust Kyrie Irving more than they trust James Harden. And here's why. Because we know in the biggest moments, we have witnessed it time and time again, from Kyrie hitting one of the greatest shots in NBA history and finals history. We know that when you get down double figures on the road, we know that Kyrie Irving is capable of having that type of killer instinct to go out there and do what he did last night. And look, I'm not overreacting, because we know that he could do this in the postseason as well. So my point is, when I look at why the Brooklyn Nets would consider bringing back Kyrie Irving part-time, it's because of the trust factor. And not taking anything away from James Harden and saying he's not a hell of a player, he's just not Kyrie Irving when it comes to the big moments, especially on the road and especially when it matters the most. Did you see that smile on Kevin Durant's face after the game?
Did you see the
joy that he had? Seriously, the basketball world had a joy, because we all take for granted at times certain people or certain individuals until they're gone, and then they come back and we say, you know what? We got a whole nother appreciation for Kyrie Irving.
I think Kyrie had that joy, right, Tupac? I mean, he talked about the 8 months away and what it means to be on the court. All right, so you just went somewhere I wasn't really ready to go this morning. I will say this.
It happens like
you
that.
You definitely... It goes like that sometimes. It definitely is evident, right, to a basketball fan, an analyst like yourself, a casual fan, it is evident that Kyrie makes both KD and James Harden's jobs easier. There is certainly a level of trust there, because otherwise this very unique situation probably doesn't fly. More than James Harden? I understand where you're coming from, but just again, because of this unique situation, I think James is actually in a position, not that it's competitions between teammates, but for the sake of our conversation, I think James is in a position to garner some of that trust back, just because he's going to be there. And I get it. Some of Kyrie is better than no Kyrie. But Perk, you've been a part of championship squads, and there is something to be said for continuity. Now, this is a unique group of guys. The big three wanted to play together. They're going to make these concessions. But I don't care what you say. There is still something to be said for continuity. And so I think because James has the opportunity to be there consistently, especially if he can stay healthy, I think he can garner some of that trust back.
Yeah, but he's been there, but he hasn't been consistent this year. And I think that's been a problem.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the Brooklyn Nets went from, Kyrie, if we can't have you full-time, we're not going to have you part-time, to changing their thought process. It's not because of Kevin Durant play. It's not because of what Patty Mills been balling. It's because James Harden has been inconsistent this year. And so now when you see the inconsistency from James Harden, you like, hold on, our ultimate goal is to win the championship. At least let's bring in Kyrie Irving. This is why Kevin Durant don't entertain those trade rumors when they talk about trading Kyrie Irving, because he knows that Kyrie Irving brings something different to the table that none of those other guys that you could possibly trade Kyrie Irving for could bring to the table. And that's that killer mentality.
Burke, I hear you, and I know that there is an unbreakable bond there between KD and Kyrie, but I'm just curious where we are come May if this thing doesn't pan out the way that we believe potentially it could. Because there's a lot to observe here, Perk. I hear you. James Harden has to get 100% healthy and find his stride and be consistent. The other day, he shot 3-for-11 from behind the three-point line versus the Clippers, which is a no-go. Kyrie Irving, some of him is better than none of him. I get it. KD, I mean, just get a ball to KD. He's going to find a bucket. But if this thing doesn't pan out in the optimal way, I just wonder, in hindsight, is there going to be a different conversation moving forward? And, of course, more importantly, we hope that the vaccination situation changes.
All right, well, we will find out. One thing we do know is that the Nets will be without that killer mentality on Friday. They take on the Bucks, but it's at home. So, again, Kyrie not available in New York City. But one thing we can say about him, he scored 10 points in the fourth quarter. That was the most out of any player on any team. So good for him. Okay, guys, we're going to say goodbye to you for now. We'll see you in just a bit because on to the NFL we go, where no one quite knows what to think about the Antonio Brown situation because it is getting wilder by the hour, literally. Last night, AB released a statement giving his side of how things went down on Sunday, saying he didn't quit. He was cut by Bruce Arians mid-game. In detail, he wrote in part, "I took a seat on the sideline and my coach came up to me very upset and shouted, 'What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?' I told him, 'It's my ankle.' But he knew that. It was well documented and we had discussed it, Brown. And then he ordered me to get off the field and I said, 'Coach, I can't.' He didn't call for medical attention. Instead, he shouted at me, 'You're done,' while he ran his finger across my throat. Coach was telling me that if I didn't play hurt, then I was done with the Bucks." However, on Monday, Bruce Arians did answer some questions about Antonio Brown's health, which contradicted AB's statement. So listen to this.
Can you fire a player if he won't go because he's injured?
I don't know that he was.
Did he say that he was, or was there a dispute about that?
No.
Okay, then this morning, Antonio Brown took to Twitter. He tweeted out alleged text messages with Bruce Arians leading up to Sunday's game against the Jets, where it appears AB is making his head coach aware of his injury. So there's a lot to unpack here. And for that, we bring in Damian Woody and Dan Orlovsky. So, guys, it's kind of he said at this point, we don't really know what to think. So, Damian, I'm going to start with you. How does AB's statement make the Bucks look?
Well, listen, there's a lot to unpack here. There's no question about that. But I just want to show the viewers kind of the process of what, you know, as a former player, what I went through. Okay, as far as injuries are concerned, number one thing, I was ultimately in charge of my own medical. Okay, all the papers, all that type of stuff. That's number one. Number two, I always got second opinions on injuries. Okay. And Antonio Brown in this situation, there's a he said type of thing. And, you know, in my particular situation, I've had injuries like Antonio Brown is talking about. And what I did was I said, let me go get a second opinion. So if the team had one thing, I could go out there and exercise my right to a second opinion so everybody's on the same page. Then he brings out the shot in the ankle, whatever. Well, guess what? I've had plenty of those throughout my career. You take those shots to get you through because you know you're dealing with an injury that ultimately probably gonna have to get corrected after the season. So that leads me to say this. I think there's some aspects to this that Bruce Arians needs to clean up because I think in the post game, he made it seem like he didn't know Antonio Brown was hurt. And I don't think that's the case. I think he knew that Antonio Brown was hurt. But I think ultimately here, when you get lawyers involved, it's taking this thing to a whole different level here. Okay, a whole different level. I've never been in a situation where a coach was gonna force me to play when I'm not, you know, when I'm not ready to play. That never happened. I played because I wanted to be out there with my brothers. I did what I had to do to be out there on the field. So again, there's a lot of things, whether it be from the alleged text messages and correspondences that need to be cleared up on both sides in this particular situation.
Yeah, I agree with. I also think even though it's a he said versus he said thing, this is very, very easily disputed if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization. Because AB has come out and referenced, I had conversations and I have proof with their general manager, Jason Light. Well, Jason Light can either confirm or deny that. He's obviously released the text messages or the alleged text messages with Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians can either confirm or deny that or disprove it, so to speak. So I think this is something that if it's not true from Antonio Brown's perspective, the Buccaneers need to, as an organization, dispute this and dispute this quickly because right now these are strong allegations against an organization. So Antonio Brown references the conversation that Bruce Arians has with him on the sideline, saying that he came up to him, had a conversation, and made a gesture. So when I watch tape, it's called the All-22. 11 players on offense, 11 players on defense. Now, to get that All-22, it's like a condensed version of the game. Essentially, it's the 8 seconds from basically the snap or the break of the huddle to the end of the play. The only way we get that tape is there is a camera that sits at the top of a stadium. I actually think the camera was developed at this network called the Hawkeye that shoots the whole football field, and it could zoom in or zoom out. It tapes the whole game, from pregame, throughout the whole game, halftime, to the end of the game. If that interaction or altercation happened, it is going to be on video. It is going to be something that the video can get zoomed into, and we will be able to see exactly when that allegedly happened or didn't, and if that gesture from Bruce Arians was made or not. So I think that's step number one, trying to figure out if this was a situation that actually happened. I find it hard, because we're trying to figure out all this, and again, the he said, he said. I find it hard, candidly, that Bruce Arians, as the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, has watched his Super Bowl contending football team lose their starting tailback, their starting wide receiver, one of their starting defensive ends, another starting defensive end, and their starting linebacker to injury. And now he is going to force now this replacement starting wide receiver onto the field while being hurt, in jeopardizing his ability to play in the playoffs. I find it difficult that Bruce Arians would do that with the big picture knowing we should win or can win a Super Bowl. If he truly knew or felt or had been expressed to by Antonio Brown that there's a real injury there, I don't think that Bruce Arians would force him out onto the field or the organization would do that. Legitimate injury. What do you know this? It's like that movie, the movie The Program, right? There's a difference between being hurt and being injured. Tom Brady played last year with a torn MCL. Was that a legitimate injury? Absolutely. So might there be a legitimate injury with Antonio Brown? Probably. But is it something, if you dress on game day, would you know this? If you're up and healthy on game day, your coaches expect you to go, you know? And that's why... All this disputing information right now is very difficult for me to process that the Bucs were part of this, I guess, extensive cover-up.
Yeah, Danny, I think you bring up a good point, man. It's just like the last point you brought up about the fact that you dress.
Yeah.
You don't dress unless you think you can play. And once you're out there, everyone's assumed that you're good to go. Now, you could get re-injured in a game, and that could take you out. But once you put on those pads and you step between the white lines, coaches, players, everyone assume that whatever you're dealing with, you can put that behind you and go out there and play.
Right.
Now, again, we got to talk about what, you know, the whole, you talked about the all 22 tape and seeing what exactly happened on the sideline. We definitely need more information as far as that is concerned. But I think that, you know, I think the point that you brought up about the fact that, listen, as former players, man, you know, there's a difference between being hurt and injured. And AB, I'm not disputing his injury. It sounds like from the MRI that he had at the hospital special surgery here in New York, it's a pretty big deal. Guess what? There's a lot of people that's played with, you know, pretty significant injuries.
Right.
And so I just think that this whole thing, the correspondences, all these type of things, because, again, once you get lawyers involved, all those things are going to matter. Those things need to be sorted out for us to get a clear picture about this whole scenario.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure those will all be looked into. But, Dan, I want to ask you, I know that on Sunday the Bucs were able to come back and beat the Jets, but you think heading into the postseason this is going to be a distraction for Tampa Bay?
Oh, absolutely. One, it's a removal from a big-time player on their football field. And now, again, like Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever when it comes to, like, evading the elephant in the room, you know, and overcoming that. But this is a really big deal. Obviously, a player and a person in Antonio Brown that has a history, and that's going to continue to be a part of this conversation. And now the general manager, the head coach, and the quarterback are going to be asked a lot of questions about this. And they're probably going to be forced to answer a lot of questions, and rightfully so, answer a lot of questions about this and take time away from preparation. And the reality is this football team has to change a lot over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And this is going to take time away from their ability to do that. And not only, you know, having to spend time doing that, but also I guess there's a chance that Antonio Brown is telling the truth. And I don't think his history supports that. I think his history supports us questioning the things that he says. But yeah, this is going to be something that very difficult to kind of, as an organization, for them to look past and overcome. I'd also say this, another part for me, Woody, that, and Charlie, that is really, I guess, forces me to question the situation. 11 days ago, this dude had 10 catches for 102 yards. He had 15 targets.
Yeah.
In that game, in that press conference, he was asked about potential injury or whatnot, and he said it's all drama made up by the, the media.
It's a good one.
11 days ago, he had 10 for a buck 02. Now we've got an ankle injury as you run off the field that is going to hinder your ability to, like, that's why there's just inconsistency right now for me.
Yeah, listen, I think everything that's swirling around the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this is a veteran team. I don't think that's going to affect the team as much as the injuries are starting to pile up, particularly on the offensive side of the football. Now, you talk about remaking, what you do, offensively. I think that's where the bigger problem lies for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What are they going to be? No Chris Godwin, no AB. Right. Those are two big weapons that are out of the equation now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How are they going to move forward? Is it going to be Leonard Fournette when he comes back being featured more in a running game? What exactly are they going to do?
Yeah, Antonio Brown was expected to be a big piece of the puzzle with the team so depleted. But as for how he's acting this morning, AB, once he starts, he doesn't really stop. He already sent out another tweet earlier this morning. It's since been deleted. It was one of his trainers, and he was essentially insinuating that he was colluding with the team. And now he just sent out another tweet saying about, from Tom Brady to the practice squad, he appreciates all of them. Just the team mishandled the situation. So keep an eye on AB's Twitter. I'm sure it'll be definitely a spectacle, to say the least. Okay, guys, let's move on because from one outspoken player to another, that bad man Aaron Rodgers did not hold back when responding to MVP voter Hub Arkush after Arkush said he would not be voting for the Packers quarterback because he's, quote, the biggest jerk in the league. So here is Rodgers' retort to that.
I think he's a bum. I think he's an absolute bum. He doesn't know me. I don't know who he is. No one knew who he was probably until yesterday's comments. But I mean, I listened to the comments, but to say he had his mind made up in the summertime, in the off season, that, I had zero chance of winning MVP, in my opinion, should exclude, future votes. His problem isn't with me being a bad guy or the biggest jerk in the league. He didn't know me. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me. I mean, I've never met him. I've never had lunch with him. I've never had an interview with him. His problem is I'm not vaccinated. So if he wants to go on a crusade and collude and come up with an extra letter to put on the award just for this season and make it the most valuable vaccinated player, then he should do that. But he's a bum, and I'm not going to waste any time worrying about that stuff.
All right, so yesterday after Rodgers spoke, Hub Arkush posted a column on Shaw Media apologizing for his comments. In part, it said, quote, I made a terrible mistake. It was completely my fault. There was no one else to blame, and I am here to try and apologize. To Aaron Rodgers, you are one of the greatest players of this generation and one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Whether or not you are this year's MVP is up to the 50-member panel, neither me nor my critics. I couldn't possibly be more sorry for dragging all of this into my mess, and I hope you will accept my apology. All right. Again, a lot to unpack here. So while Arkush is apologizing for his earlier comments, Dan, do you believe the criticism of Rodgers is still fair?
No. First of all, his apology falls on deaf ears because he's just mad or apologizing that his feelings were made public. Number two, he should not be allowed to vote for the MVP ever again. Ever again. That should be revoked from him. You should be thankful that you get to vote for the MVP. That is rare air that you get to have an opinion and or judge upon. No one asked you. Not a single person asked you to share what your thoughts are about Aaron Rodgers as a person or a human being. The MVP is an award that is voted upon about the person's performance on the field that they earn. In the NFL, we actually have a thing that you can vote on when it comes to a person's character, integrity, or what you believe about them. That's called the Walter Payton Man of the Year. If he doesn't want to vote for Aaron Rodgers in regards to that, that's fine. And that's probably justified given what the criteria is. The MVP is about what you do on the football field. Right now, this writer sounds jealous that Aaron Rodgers can do things that he can never do nor never fathom about doing, and he's judging Aaron Rodgers by Aaron Rodgers' actions and himself by his own intentions. The criticism of Aaron Rodgers hasn't been fair, and this writer should never be allowed to vote for the MVP again.
Dan, let me take it a step further. This is BS, in my opinion, because what you're affecting is legacy.
Correct.
And Dan, you and I both know this. Legacy means a lot to former players. You know, because, listen, at the end of the day, when we're done playing and all those type of things, you know, that's what we remember for. We remember for our legacy, what we've done on the field. And for this guy to come out and inject his personal biases or his personal feelings towards Aaron Rodgers as it relates to the MVP voting, it's wrong. It's wrong. And you're right. He should have his credentials revoked as far as that 100%. Is concerned. But I think this also goes to a bigger place here, because I think over the years, whether you're talking about MVP voting or Hall of Fame voting, Dan, we've heard many cases where writers have you know, injected their personal feelings as far as players getting into
Chris
the Hall
Carter.
Of Fame.
Yeah.
Yes, the list goes on and on. And so, again, I just say this means a lot to players. Players, you know, have been playing since Little League all the way up until their pro career, just preparing and getting to this moment. And then to go out there and play at that higher level to be considered the MVP or be considered for the Hall of Fame, it doesn't get any bigger than that. And for individuals in this process who are in the media, not played the game, but in the media, that are somehow determining whether a guy has these credentials as far as their legacy is concerned, I think it's appalling, man. And I just think that more light needs to be brought onto this process.
Yeah, and it should become kind of transparent of when you vote, why are you voting or why are you not? There should be a justifiable reason. It's almost like the hiring process, right, Woody? Like, make it very transparent of why are you making those choices? I would like to know, I'm not trying to be a jerk by any means. How does this writer have an MVP vote? Like, what has he done or accomplished to have that MVP vote? And now this brings in to question everybody that's going to vote for the MVP. Yeah. You know, if this writer was so forthright in saying, I'm not going to vote for him because I don't agree with the things that he does off the field, how many others are like that potentially? And if Aaron doesn't win the MVP, whether you think he's worthy of it or not on the field, it's going to bring into question everybody that votes in this process and maybe some of their biases. Are there going to be people who don't vote for him for the same reasons? Are there going to be people who vote for another guy that they might not necessarily feel is worthy of it on the field, but because they align with the same type of views or values? Again, I'll reiterate, he should never vote for the MVP again, and this should force a transparency, because this is a big deal, Wood. Like, we're voting for the MVP of the NFL. There's one of these every single year. Mm-hmm. And this is, to your point, this impacts guys' reputation and legacy and their ability to kind of get into the Hall of Fame. I don't think it'll affect Aaron's, but he should never vote for the MVP again, and he should be embarrassed by it.
Yeah, well, Dan, you asked about how people get the ability to have an MVP vote. I don't know the answer to that, but just as far as Arkush is concerned, he's the editor of Pro Football Weekly, also contributes to other Chicago area media. So, again, that's what he does, and he has been given that vote for the reason. I do not know why.
Given that vote is a good phrasing, Charlie. He was given that vote. I don't think he's done anything to earn that vote.
Fair enough.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Titans are in a great spot. They are one win away from clinching the AFC. All they need to do, beat the Texans, no big deal. And they're getting their star running back, Derrick Henry, in just the time for the postseason. Henry practiced for the first time yesterday after being on IR since November 1st with a fractured foot. So is Ryan Tannehill excited? Oh, yeah.
Get him back out there. You know, obviously, he's put in a lot of work to get to this point. And it's been a while, so, you know, no doubt it's exciting to get him back out there, and we'll see what he can do. Derek's a heck of a player, so, you know, anytime we can get him back out here working his way to going out and competing with us, it's going to be huge for us.
Henry returning, the Titans have the third shortest odds to win the conference, according to Caesars Sportsbook. The Chiefs are the current favorites, despite ESPN's FBI giving the Bills the highest chance to win. Dan, the competition is definitely stiff in the AFC. So which team do you see standing in the Chiefs' way the most?
Yeah, I've been on the Colts. I think the Colts are the team that is best built to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, to your point, Charlie, like, I could see almost any team coming out of the AFC. I think the Chiefs are the team to beat. The reason I say the Colts are, one, on both sides of the football, they control the line of scrimmage. I think it's the best offensive line outside of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFL. Their run game is diverse. It's also got the ability to go the distance. It's one that 5-6 yard runs, but go the distance. Their defensive line is absolutely fantastic. They're one that can stop the run and get after the quarterback, and they're a coverage-based unit. That zone coverage that's built on too high scheme and coverage disguise and rotation that we know has given the Chiefs some issues throughout the season. There is a question at the quarterback for some people, and that is fair. They don't have the most explosive passing game in the NFL, but because of the way they dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football, I think if that team plays their best game or their A game, they're most equipped to beat the Kansas City Chiefs and knock them off.
I love it.
I'm going to talk about a team that swept the Indianapolis Colts this year, okay, and that's the Tennessee Titans. And I don't know of many teams that has had as many injuries as the Tennessee Titans, particularly with some of the big-name players that they've had. We all know about King Henry. There's not a team that has that one player identity is tied more to than Tennessee Titans and King Henry. That he means that much to that program. Obviously, Julio Jones has been dealing with a plethora of injuries, and he's missed significant time. AJ Brown has missed significant time. I mean, I could go on and on about a lot of big name players that have missed time with the Tennessee Titans. But I think that the thing that I want to talk about is through all of that, the job that Mike Vrabel has done, staying true to who he is as a coach, staying true to what their identity is. Dan, did you know that, you know, even with King Henry being out, they rushed for more yards than when King Henry was in there? That is just phenomenal considering all the injuries and, you know, with all the skill position players that they have. This is the team, they've beaten the Chiefs, okay? Like I said, they swept the Colts. They beat, you know, they out in Los Angeles with the Rams when King Henry went out early in that game.
Yeah.
They still found a way to dominate the Rams in Los Angeles. So they're getting back. They're getting back a lot of their pieces at the right time. So when I talk about a team that I think when the arrow is trending in the right direction, and they were able to, you know, they possibly able to secure home field advantage in the playoffs, that's the Tennessee Titans for me.
So, listen, I don't all that disagree with you on the Titans. I would tell you that I think the Titans have the executive of the year in John Robinson and the assistant coach of the year in Todd Downing, who took over for their offensive coordinator role. I think the Titans are fantastic. The Titans were the team that we talked about a lot in, like, September and mid-October. Mm-hmm. And then we haven't talked a lot about them because the thing that made them different than everybody else in the NFL were those three skill position guys, A.J. Brown, Julio, and Derrick Henry, because of their physicality, like the size. No one else has the skill guys with that size. The reason that I would say that I'm still a little hesitant on Tennessee is because I don't know if those guys are reliable when it comes to their health. Like, I think we're all – what Derrick Henry has done is absolutely remarkable, getting back to being able to run right now. But what kind of version or how much of a percentage of Derrick Henry are we going to get? I think we're all excited and hopeful that it's like that 90%, 100% Derrick Henry. But I don't know. We don't know. And I think Derrick Henry is the difference. Or I think those three skill position guys are the difference between this team being a real Super Bowl contender and one that's just kind of a good story this season. So I don't know what I'm going to get out of him with his health. And I'm hopeful that it's awesome. The same could be said about those two receivers. You know, Julio has been in and out of the lineup for 3 months. If Julio doesn't play and the hamstring acts up, that is a huge impact to their football team. The same with A.J. Brown, where I don't think, like, if the Colts are as healthy as they can be and the Titans are as healthy as they can be, yes, I would say the Titans. But I just don't have – you see, I'm trying to pronounce that with Titans. I don't have, like, the confidence that those three stars – are going to remain fully healthy for this run. That's my difference.
Okay, well, obviously, go ahead, Damian.
Yeah, I think another thing that I'm going to point out as far as the Indianapolis Colts are concerned is last week's game against the Raiders. I think that was a blow to the Indianapolis Colts. The fact that Jonathan Taylor rushed for over 100 yards, and we know that, you know, him running over 100 yards prior to that game, they were undefeated. They ended up losing to the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, at home. I think it dents them a little bit. The fact that the quarterback, and we've talked about the skill position players for the Tennessee Titans. We've talked about the skill position players for the Tennessee Titans. But Carson Wentz, Dan, come on now. Can we really sit here, and I know you love Carson Wentz, but can you really sit here and feel confident, that if the Indianapolis Colts is going against the Tennessee Titans, are you confident in Carson Wentz that he's able to make
requisite
plays to go out there and win playoff games?
Yeah, I'm the same confidence I was when everyone said he stunk last year in Philadelphia, and I said he's going to go to Indy, and he's going to play really good football, and he's done just that. Two things. I actually think that what happened against Jacksonville will be the best thing that happened to Indy. The quarterback didn't practice all week. A bunch of them were, you saw Darius Leonard talk about it on Hard Knocks. Practice was bad. Like, they just played. If you think differently about the Indianapolis Colts today than you did Saturday before their game of last weekend, that's on you. I think of them the same exact way. They were all sick. They didn't practice. They didn't prepare well. And they played poorly.
Oh, Dan, don't give me those excuses. Come on. Like, everybody's dealing with COVID and sicknesses and all that. Come on, man. Like
everybody's been impacted by it.
As a cop-out right now?
All right. I told the live crew. Save this clip.
Damian, it's two against one here. You know I'm not going against the Colts. So, Dan, you're my guy. Thank you so much for being strong in your conviction. But, you know, let's also look back at the Titans. Dan, you mentioned their health. That is a wait-and-see type of thing. But one thing that is certainly not a concern for them is their head coach, Mike Vrabel. Yeah. He has done such a good job coaching the Titans this season, despite everything that's happened. So, Damian, you think Vrabel should win Coach of the Year?
Absolutely. I think that Mike Vrabel has done a tremendous job. Again, I just touch upon the injuries. You know, again, I talk about King Henry and how he, you know, ties into the identity of the Tennessee Titans. You lose him for a good chunk of the season. You play without Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, you know, pieces on the defensive side of the football, guys missing on the offensive line. And through all of that, he has the Tennessee Titans right now on the cusp of being the number one seed and home field advantage. Who's done a better job?
Matt LaFleur.
Tell me, Dan, who's done a better job?
Matt LaFleur. I just did. Matt LaFleur should be and is and has been the coach of the year. So I'm ready for this one, Wood. First of all, this is his third straight year of winning 13 games. At some point, can we not acknowledge the guy is a fantastic coach? If he can't win Coach of the Year in one of those three seasons, then we got a flawed system. Now, Mike Vrabel's been outstanding. I agree, the injuries. But if you look at, first of all, expectations for teams, We thought Tennessee was going to be good this year. We thought Tennessee or Indy was going to win that division. That has happened. We also
to be
thought,
this good? To be number one seed good?
Did you think Green Bay, given what transpired from basically the NFL draft time last year and the conversation all offseason and the question of Aaron Rodgers if he was going to go there or not, and then is he going to show up at training camp, did you think that the Green Bay Packers would be a 13-win team and the number one NFC team? Because I did not. I did not think that they'd be handled that.
Well, listen, when Aaron Rodgers committed to coming back to Green Bay, that automatically puts them right at the top of the heap in the NFC.
So you thought they'd be the one seed?
Aaron Rodgers.
So you thought they would be the one seed?
With Aaron Rodgers, absolutely.
So, all right, so then you're in the minority because I don't know a lot of people that did. I certainly did not. And then think about that they've dealt with injuries as well. I mean, Jair Alexander's been gone for most of the year. Za'Darius Smith, gone for most of the year. They had to go out to Arizona with me and you playing at some of their positions, and they won that football game. You know that there's been a revolving door on their offensive line. They've had to play this whole season without Bakhtiari. They lost Elkton Jenkins. And yet here they are, and Week 18 doesn't matter for them because they've already locked it up. That's why Matt LaFleur is the coach of the year. I'll give you, Vrabel has done an outstanding job. I'm not disagreeing with that. Matt LaFleur has done a better job. I think Nick Sirianni for the Philadelphia Eagles needs to be in that conversation because of expectations.
Absolutely.
No one expected Phil. I would say Zach Taylor, again, for the outside expectations. I think Matt LaFleur has been and has never wavered from being the coach of the year this year. He has done everything that should be required to deserve that. This has not been an easy offseason. Tennessee didn't have to deal with that. Nor season when it came to, if we're going to talk about Tennessee's injuries, we got to talk about Green Bay's.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur, certainly someone who is deserving of being in the conversation. But just to strengthen Mike Vrabel's case, he is the only coach that lost their MVP in week 8 of the season. He's also the only coach in NFL history to ever use 88 players in a single season. Not just this season, but
Charlie,
ever.
Whose side are you on?
Listen, I'm just saying. I'm just here to add information. I think you both make very good points. I'm just saying. I thought it was a very interesting fact. I wanted to share with you. Maybe it's something for you to consider.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
And Big Perk back with us, and it is time for some quick takes. Okay, Perk, Lance Stephenson back like he never left in Indy. What a performance, 20 consecutive points in 6 minutes in the first quarter. So, should Lance be a Pacer the rest of the way?
Absolutely, and he made lot of GMs look foolish. And you know what, Charlie? This is the argument I had with J.J. Redick when he started to bring up per 100 possessions and analytics and numbers. This is why Lance Stephenson has been out the league for the last 2 years. But the eye test tells us that he should have been on the NBA roster.
Oh, yeah, he was ready to make his comeback. Okay, next, the team you want to chip with, the Celtics, continue to struggle losing to the Spurs at home. Perk, how would you fix the Celtics?
They can't get right. There's no fixing them. And here it is. I think when you look at it, you got to start with the head of the snake, Ime Udoka. When you watch the Celtics play, they are too undisciplined. That goes on coaching. Ime Udoka got to quit worrying about guys' feelings. He got to stop trying to be cool with his players and hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, what's going on with Steph Perk? He was dealing last night with a quad contusion, so another game where he struggled from the floor. You think this slump is going to cost him his shot at the MVP?
I don't, but what's happening is that teams are pulling off playoff strategies against Steph because they have to. This is why I say Klay Thompson is so valuable. Steph misses, and he needs Klay Thompson to take some of that pressure off of him so that he can get those open looks and don't have to work so hard for shots.
Okay, well, the Warriors play the Pelicans tonight, so you can count on Steph probably sitting that one out. Okay, Perk, thank you so much.